listening to the Living Truth Church podcast. We pray you encounter God through this message. To find out more about our family, visit us online at livingtruth.church.
Thank you. I actually can't teach you how to apply this. I'm not saying he's incorrect, because I know exactly what you're talking about, but I can't teach you how to apply this word. It's going to take the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking about Brandon. Brandon got baptized in the Holy Spirit, a couple weeks ago. Like, he was here early, pacing the floor in prayer for what the Lord wanted to do. And he came and prayed over me before service. He said, just keep doing what you're doing. I'm going to pray. He's praying over me. I never told him to do that. But something came alive inside of him that produced the result that we want. I mean, I cannot teach you how to apply what we're about to walk into. You've got to decide. It's going to take faith. And it's going to take those vocal mics being turned down 19 and 20. It's when you run sound and preach, it just makes for interesting things like that. We need to have a heart-to-heart today. I wanted all of these chairs in a circle. I wanted us to gather in a circle, but I realized it probably wasn't going to work too well, and it would be a really big circle, and some of you'd be way far away. So I'm trying to bring people in close on purpose today. We need to have a talk. We need to have a meeting. This is a town hall meeting, whatever. I've got more to say than I can even say in the time that I feel like I should take, because y'all will check out if I take too long. But let's zone in here. Let's pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. As a pastor here, I feel a high responsibility and call of the Lord to lead us into what I believe God is revealing as we go along. Right now, currently, we are on the edge of being in a rut with this church. What we have is great, but it's not satisfying to me anymore. And I'm not mad about it. And I'm not here to beat you up about it today. I'm here to invite you into the permission that we can migrate with God into what He has for us next. And it's more than what we're currently operating in. What we're doing right now, 6 months ago, was amazing. But in 6 months from now, if we keep doing what we're doing right now, we'll begin to die out. Pastor was telling me about being in Mexico and watching the sheep herders. Have you ever wondered why a shepherd is provided to lead sheep? Can't we just leave them out there? Can't they just be out there? Yeah, they can on the weekends for a short time. But the thing about a shepherd is, if the shepherd doesn't lead the sheep into new ground for grazing, they'll starve to death. They'll die out. They'll stay in that one little circle, that one little place, and they'll consume everything there. And it'll be time to move with the shepherd. And if the sheep stay, and they don't move with the shepherd, what was once provision will be a barren ground, where the grass is thinning right now for this church. It's not a bad thing, because we're aware of it. And if you could see some of the things that I see at times as a leader, I mean, God lets me in on things. And I may ask, and I may get some feedback from some of you today. I'm planning to. I'm just deciding on who. I don't want to let the wrong person come up here and start preaching my message. So some of you are out there, faith, Don't be preaching my message. No, but think about what God is doing inside of you. Last week, I preached about why Jesus came. Why did he come? He came to give us, put us back in right standing with the Father, give us access to God, to him. And in that, he calls us to the same journey that he took, death and burial and resurrection. And I think we get caught sometimes on one or the other, but we never enter the full journey. I mean, everybody wants resurrection, but nobody wants to go through death and burial. But I've also met people that stay at the cross so long that they never pick up what the cross was there for, which is resurrection life. They never walk into that. The message, the gospel of Jesus, is the most amazing message because it redeems us. The blood of Jesus sets us free from sin and the law of sin and death, and we're no longer under condemnation. We're free from sin. We're no longer bound to live in a sin nature. But the only way you'll put that sin nature to death permanently is to pick up the life that Jesus provides, not just the ability to get to heaven. But to pick up that now and begin to walk in that and live in that, and then your life becomes a testimony to how amazing the gospel is, and it's not just a story anymore. So if last week I talked about why Jesus came, I want to talk to you about why you're here. Not just why you're here on this earth, but why you're here at this church. Why do you come to services? Why do you come to these gatherings? What do you expect to receive? Why do you come? Like, just think about it. I want us to think about these things. Like, why do we go to church? I know it's Arkansas, and everybody's supposed to go to church and eat afterwards, and, you know, you see everybody, and we're actually supposed to dress up a little bit. All my winter clothes were put away, or most of them. And then he wears his jacket, but he's got jeans on. I told him he's halfway back to where he was. He wore a suit last week, and he wore half a suit today, so he's back. This service is actually going to run right into lunch today, okay? So just be prepared, because we have lunch here for you. That's why I say it's going to run right into lunch. When we dismiss, you can eat. So get your mind off of everything else, and let's zone in. Let's figure out what God's saying. Why are we here? Somebody want faith? I saw you talking. You hit her? Okay, what's God doing? And who wants to answer? It's going to be one of y'all. Y'all are going to be first. Just kind of, what is God doing in you? What's happening in your life? Like, how are you processing your walk with God? I mean, you can say anything you want to say. I'm leaving it open. But just tell me, like, a little bit about what God's doing inside of you. Well, just tell me. He's increasing your hunger. Anything else? Because you prayed like, last week, you were like, I just want to hear more, I want to see more, like when I'm at school, and I think this is how you put it, like, I want to hear your voice more, and I want to be more in tune with what you're saying, and you said that he's done that. Who else? What's God doing in you? Does anybody just feel like, man, I feel so good about where I'm at right now, like God's doing a lot? Can you say it if I give you the mic? Because he's sitting there with tears in his eyes going, yeah. What's?
I can't say it.
Let it be known. Let it be known. See, when God's doing something in you, you're changed. And we're supposed to gather so that we can be equipped in his purposes. That's why we're here. The church and the assembly of the saints is for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And we may not be doing a whole lot of that yet, but we're going to. Because I'm going to keep teaching and I'm going to keep prodding this. And I'm going to get out a staff and go, let's go this direction at times. And I do that. And I don't even like to do that. But I love the call as a leader that we can enter into rich ground, that we can enter into abundant land. And there's way more than what we're currently operating in. Not only have I seen it and been a part of it, I mean, I've lived in it. And I'm telling you, like, this church is not the church where you just come and you go to service every week and we kind of know what's going on and the music's good and the preaching is good and we just come and we go to our service and then we go home. This is not that church. I'm not saying that that is a bad church, but I can promise you everything I've seen is this is much more than that. This will be a family and a house that will continually host the glory of God, not only daily in our homes and throughout every service that we gather, but it will be a movement that will blanket this city with transformation power. Are y'all a part of that? Here's what I need you to do. I need you to wake up and realize and see, because I cannot teach you this. I can teach you how to have services, and I can get the band up here, and I can get real loud and real excited, and I can make you really loud and you really excited, but it might not do anything. But if we can position ourselves to receive from the Lord and begin to just lay down our selfish pride and our selfish ambition and go, God, what do you really want with me? I want to know you face to face. I don't even know that yet. Or maybe you've had glimpses of that. Maybe you've experienced that and you go, I want that. I want more. And all of a sudden, that there's a hunger that comes inside of you. The only way to receive from God is in faith. He that comes unto God must first believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of who? The ones that diligently seek him. The reason that element is in there is because as we begin to seek the Lord and we begin to get in his word, the Bible says faith comes through hearing. And Sunday's not enough. You know, you can listen to me share the word on Sunday, but never hear it, and faith never come. In fact, a lot of us do that on Sundays right now. You don't even remember any of the scripture I shared last Sunday, some of you, or the week before that, or the week before that. Like, we're not going to be the church that gathers for years and we can't identify any growth or transition or transformation in people's lives. I mean, we're just not. We're not going to be that. There are times where we've had time periods where that's what we were. And we're kind of in one of those right now. So I'm coming and going, let's make an adjustment. Let's make a tweak. Let's begin to hunger for him and not just a building or a particular type of service or a certain type of chair. I told Uncle Bill, I said, the people that don't do anything don't get to decide which chairs we put out. And he said, well, they're entitled to their opinion. You know how loving Uncle Bill is. They do get to say, they get a say-so. I said, yeah, they get to say-so. It just doesn't mean we're going to do it. But there are people all over this room that you have ideas and you want to promote your voice into things. Well, get with God's plan and begin to activate what's inside of you. Begin to do things into this body. You may not even get it all right. But I guarantee you, if Julio comes to me and goes, I think we ought to do this, I'm all ears, because he's constantly serving. Him and Holly are investing into this body, so I'm listening to what they want. But then I'll hear a complaint from somebody that's doing nothing. You just come and you attend service. And you actually look mad. And you don't seem like you really, like, you. I don't see love coming from you like I should. And I'm not even thinking about any one person right now. Get off that. I'm just saying in my walk, I encounter these things and I go, like, I know we've got a lot of great ideas and we certainly want to get in this building and we feel kind of worn out. We're like, oh, if we can just get in the building. I hear that all the time. The building's not going to produce this, I promise you. The Holy Ghost will. But you got to decide. I mean, woo. If we die with him, then we can also live with him. Or better yet, as him. We're the body of Jesus on the earth. What's his body doing? What are we doing? Why are we here? We must go through the cross, but we were never meant to stop there. Jesus, the Bible says, when he was crucified, he wasn't just laying there in a tomb. There was some part of him that went into Sheol, that went into the pits of hell and led captivity captive. He openly triumphed over the devil. And then what did he do? Took the keys. He got back the authority. And immediately it says he gave gifts unto men. He gave something. I have noticed something, and definitely Jessica pointed this out. I don't know if this maybe last week. I think we're okay with receiving from God when everything is going wrong. And it's like, I need help. Oh, Jesus, please. I need healing. I need this. And I watch as we give altar calls, as people come forward, I watch this posture most of the time in the physical. We cry, and there's this emotional thing, and I'm not saying that that's wrong. That is one way to receive from God. But I also know that this posture...
God, you're so good. I just love you. Just come into my home. Just invade my life. I want more. I need you. Holy Spirit, just come. Reign over my kids and my wife. I need you. I need you, God. You're so good. There's this posture
of hunger and thankfulness that when it's all good, you still journey forward. When everything's good, you go, what's the next place? There's nothing I really need right now except more of you. That's all I really want. I don't need you to do a healing. I don't need you to break through in the job, give me a raise, and save my, rotten family. I don't need that. I'm not even thinking about that. I'm just thinking about you. And guess what? When you get him, you get all of that. But you can get all of that and not have him and be miserable in this world. There's a possibility that there are people in this room that you do not know what it's like to walk in joy. The world's got you just beat down. Man, posture yourselves to receive by faith and hunger the joy of the Lord. One of the things that he keeps promising in his word is that he would give us permission to enter his rest. Now, he's not talking about when you die and go to heaven. He's talking about you. There's a rest of God that you can enter. Some of you might be slipping into it right now. Just make sure it's the rest of the Lord. Some of us are so busy that we can't see it. We can't see that rest. We're just hoping for a breakthrough. The breakthrough happened on the cross. The veil tore, and there was a breakthrough that day. He doesn't need to do anything else. He's done it. And he's given us permission to just step through the veil and inherit everything. He gave gifts unto men. The Christmas tree is surrounded. What do you want? One component? I'll just take that little present right there. Julio brought this up the other day. I'll just take that little present right there. You just want them all. Because the good father, he prepares it. He goes, you can have them all. He doesn't slap your hand when you go for something. He paid for all of it. Everything that he has has been that's been made available has been purchased with an heaven went bankrupt for it. Gave Jesus to get you back. And the Bible says that it pleased God to do that. How? That's amazing. It pleased God. You want to talk about amazing grace? It pleased God to crucify his son. Oh, man. Are y'all hearing me today? Okay. That's great. Thank you for what took place in worship. I felt like we went another degree forward. Let me reinforce, this church will be labeled a revival culture, a reformation center, a glory house where God dwells. Do you know that the Bible tells us that his house should be called a house of prayer? That my house will be known as a house of prayer. And yet, when we call prayer meetings, a few people show up. That's all right. Jesus, he only got 120 out of the over 500 to stay and pray. That's about average, about what we do now. He appeared after the resurrection to over 500 people, and he told them all to wait in Jerusalem until they're endued with the power. And on the day of Pentecost, when the power came, there was only 120 left that were actually praying. They prayed for 10 days, and then the Holy Spirit was poured out. 3,000 people repented. They were crucified with Christ. They were buried and raised and were filled with the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people were added to their number that day. God told me he could save 3,000 people in Mayflower in a day. He could do that. We think about all these strategies and how we're going to do that. He can save this entire city in one day. And I believe he's putting the pieces together where that's possible. In a couple of weeks, I'm meeting with church pastors and leaders to pray. Just to have a meal together and to pray. I wish I could invite all of y'all, but it would probably scare some people. I may scare some people. I don't know. It's not about me. It's not about this church. I've invited people that don't even go to church here that are just leaders in the community. It's about beginning to seek God, beginning to turn from our ways and beginning to seek the Lord. And if you can see this, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. We're not in a bad place, but I'm just letting you know that we're on the journey to a deeper place, and you're going to decide, you're probably already deciding now what you're doing with your life and how you're receiving this message. You're probably already deciding whether you want that or not. And I tell you, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'll tell you, there's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There is a home that is filled with peace if you could only see it. Or you can just go to services. But it won't be here. Because that's not just what we're doing. There will be times where we just have a good old service. That'll happen. But we're building something that's going to look different. Okay. I'm going to make 2 points, and then we're going to worship, and we're going to receive from God today. We're going to let our hunger be stirred, or I'm going to. If you want to, you can. If you don't, then you don't have to. But I promise you, you want to. He's so good. He's so good. Oh, man. The God that created the universe would come and live with you, in you. Same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. We take that scripture so lightly that the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead, and it was not hard. And the Bible says that the same Spirit that was in Christ Jesus now lives in you and gives life or quickens your mortal body. Your body was not eternal. Your body will die. But there's something inside of you that's more powerful than that. So there's a dead raising Spirit on the inside of you. There's a dead raising Spirit inside of you. Is that going to be normal? No. Man. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Somebody sings that, plays at a piano. That can be the most powerful time of your life, or it can be the most boring time of your life. It depends on whether or not the blessings are flowing. If you're connected to the source, it's rich. I've gone to service at some really boring church services, and the only reason it was boring is because all the people weren't experiencing Jesus in their everyday life. They were attached to a mirage. They're looking at him like a painting on the wall, and he's alive. But they can sing that same song, and I can't even hardly stay in my seat on that out-of-tune piano and that person that they're not these guys. But when they sing that song, man, I can just, oh! It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter if they're singing your song or if they're loud or if they're quiet, if they have a full band or what, if you have to dress up or dress down. I mean, none of that matters unless you're encountering him. It's the only reason I'm here. It's the only reason I'm doing this. There's a lot of stuff I would rather do. I had a job opportunity come up. Huh? I do like it. I do. But I promise you, there are times, and he knows, and you know, where I'm going, oh, I'd just love to have a regular job. Like, you know, like just, and I whine and complain to some of y'all. I'm like, oh, just if we could get this. And I had a job opportunity that I could take that would have been great, and I thought about it for a minute. I'm like, I could still do what I'm doing and do that and take a burden off the church because the church pays me part-time to do this. I could take a burden off, and that money would be me freed up for something else. And I thought, What if I worked a normal job like you guys, but still did what I'm called to do? And I thought, what if? Because sometimes I think we have this idea. But he's getting paid to do that, to live for God. No, ma'am, no sir. You have the same responsibility as me. Whether or not you're going to walk in what God has called you to. And guess what? There is an abundant supply. Now, God told me, he told me not to do that. And you're going, oh, thank you. He told me not to do that because where we're going, he's going to make things more productive with less effort. And there will be a place of rest. And he needs me focused and he needs my time. Not only do I need that time freed up rather than working 40 hours doing something else trying to make a bunch of money, not only that, but my wife and my kids, he's going, I want you to build into them. Build into them. Lean into them. And say what I tell you to say when I tell you to say it. And that's your responsibility. I told you two scriptures. I guess if the band wants to go ahead and get ready to come, it'll cause me to make sure I finish on time. Are y'all still with me? Amen. That's good. Okay. Are you with Jesus? Okay. Then you really need to hear this scripture. This is 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 16 and 17. I'm going to read it from the screen so we can just read it together. This is from the Passion Translation. Pay very careful attention to this, and I'll point out some stuff, but we have come into an intimate experience with God's love. That can be true or untrue, but it was true in this scenario when they're writing this. We have come into an intimate experience with God's love. We've come into it. We've diligently sought after something. We have, by faith, received from the Lord. We've come into it. It didn't come on to us. We came into it. We made the decision. We entered behind the veil. We've come into an intimate experience with God's love, and we trust in the love He has for us. God is love. Those who are living in love are living in God, and God lives through them. If you're not in love, then read between the lines. No one can hate a brother whom they see and claim that they love God whom they haven't seen. Well, I've been saved, brother. I don't know. I come to church to celebrate Jesus. Prove it. I come to church to receive from God. Show me the evidence. These signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Show me the evidence. I do not know anyone. I'll just clear the air of this. I do not know anyone that walks in the power of God and sees miraculous signs follow their life that doesn't pray in tongues. I don't know anybody. I'm not saying there's not. I know a lot of good people that don't pray in the Spirit, but I don't know anybody that I would go, man, that person's on fire for God, and they don't pray in tongues. I don't know anybody. Anybody? That they're praying for people at work and people are getting healed and they're turning their lives over to Jesus. And in these gifts that Jesus got and distributed to men, tongues is the lowest level. James talked about that. Tongues is the first rung on the ladder. The Bible makes that clear. Desire prophecy. The greater gifts. Tongues is way down here. If it wasn't for tongues, people would climb the ladder. But tongues is something, man, that's weird. I heard that other language. I don't know. Oh, I don't know about that. Or maybe you saw a bunch of people that got on the first rung and they just hung out there and they left God a long time ago and they're putting on a show, rolling around on the floor and just praying in tongues. I've seen that real and I've seen that fake. But the devil loves to counterfeit the real to keep you away. Tongues is a humbling thing. It's like, I've got to be okay with maybe looking a little foolish in the name of the Lord. It's not the experience of tongues that's so powerful. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's the saturation. He's in you. He wants to fill you and be upon you for empowerment. I'm just going to skip ahead. I'm going to read this rest of this, and then I'll read this last verse. I may just even paraphrase the last one. But by living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us so that we may fearlessly face the day of judgment. Because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. What? All that Jesus now is in resurrection power, seated at the right hand of the Father. We've been made to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, not one day, now in this world. All that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. What? How? How, David? All that Jesus is, so are you. How? Because who you used to be is dead. And who you are now is continually, Paul said, I die daily, continually being made alive in Christ. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live as Jesus on the earth. That's the greatest opportunity. It's not heaven, it's heaven on earth. Jesus said, pray that way, on earth as it is in heaven. You bought a lie when you thought that the whole purpose of these churches and all this was to get people to heaven. And that was never God's intention. It was a byproduct of God's intention, which was to get heaven inside of you. Heaven is the place where God is. All of it. He will eventually, Jesus will return to the earth, and guess where heaven will be? Here. Guess who the people are that are going to make that up? The ones who already have heaven inside of them now. Yeah. Guys, we have missed this. The churches have... We have taught so much junk, and we have left people void of the experience that gives them the power to walk in the gospel, in the kingdom. I was going to read Acts chapter 8. Actually, just put it on the screen. I'll read it real quick. Acts chapter 8. And before I even read that, there's another part of it I wanted to read here. The believers who had fled Jerusalem went everywhere preaching the good news about Jesus. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to what he had to say because of the miracles he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Demons are coming out of people screaming, and there's great joy there. Now, he continues to preach, and this is where I want to pick up, is in chapter 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem, that would be Peter and John, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. And as soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. I thought you received the Holy Spirit when you believed. They prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. You see, there was something tangible that was visible, that they had encountered God. They had believed, they had been baptized, but something convinced Peter and John, we need to travel all the way to Samaria to pray for these people to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. So, if you want to experience that, I'd love to pray for you. Anybody? Better yet, John Blasioli, come here, my brother. The Lord shows me things about John regularly. What y'all don't realize, unless you've seen what I've seen, don't take this the wrong way, he's one of the most important people in this room. John is a prophet, and if anybody has lived through hell on earth, it's been him. Why? Because he is so important. So I just asked him to come up here so I could tell him that, say that and honor him. He has a volume of prophetic words for this body. Think about an encyclopedia volume. He has a volume of prophetic words for this family that you have not heard yet because you have not been prepared to hear it. And you don't, and I know you may not understand how all that works, but if you will read the Old Testament, God continually spoke through prophets, and he directed entire nations from one person. And prophets did not go away in the New Testament. The church did, crucified the apostle and the prophet and said, we'll take a preacher. But we are part of a body. When the Bible says that all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. It's a body. We are Jesus. We're the body of Jesus in the earth. We cannot be limp and flaccid and paralyzed, and you will be if you don't have a continual blood supply flow of the Holy Ghost in your life. So I ask you again, do you want to receive? Or do you have, you got everything you need? You got something? Jesus, I pray for no one to be able to escape your love, God. I pray for hearts to be pulled and broken. Your word that I just spoke, that you said your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It can pierce the heart and divide soul from spirit, joint from marrow, thoughts from intentions. God, take the marrow and begin to just infuse your spirit into people and cause life to stir in this body again. I call for dead things to come alive, for walls and stones to be rolled away, and we give God freedom again so that joy could come in and the gifts could be deposited into people.
We're thankful for what God is doing in your heart. If you would like to give towards revival being established in our region, or you have a testimony of how your life is being changed, please connect with us at livingtruth.church or send emails to livingtruthar@gmail.com.